Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So I was in the shower, I was cleaning my ass and making all shirts all sparkly, spanky clean.
I'm not the funny one, I'm the pretty one.
Cock shots. I just checked myself out.
Music, wine, and then blue bump, and
the glory hole is like a dick theater. I've imagined your
pants. Which means your pants had better come off. Mama needs playtime.
We're not sluts.
We just love love.
Hello, hello.
I was over here jamming to the music. I'm not paying any attention to the time. Yeah, it was great.
You're just having a good old time over there.
I'm just in a good mood.
Yeah.
I'm cooking a delightful gumbo, and it tastes exactly the way I want it to taste, which is rare. Rare that things go exactly the way I want them to.
So despite starting off talking about gumbo, this is not a food podcast.
It could be.
It could be.
It's not.
It's not.
This
is episode 400.
Do, 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 do.
Of By the By.
Hi, yeah. I'm Bradford.
Angela.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've made it to episode 400.
Congratulations.
Well, if you've listened to all of them,
oof,
man, you could have gone to space and back. I don't know. I don't know how long it takes to get to space. I'm assuming a while.
I'm pretty sure you could circumnavigate like Australia a few times.
A couple of times. You might be able to circumcise the Earth.
Nice.
I don't know. But you'd have to cut it short.
Oh my God, terrible.
I know.
Careful.
So, yes, this is episode 400. Stick around to the end because we're going to make an announcement that will directly affect your lives if you are one of our constant listeners, like our wonderful humans in our Discord chat. So, how do you get to be one of those wonderful humans? Will you support us at any level on patreon.com/bythebypodcast? And if your Patreon account is linked up with your Discord account, you will magically be whisked into the crevices of our Discord.
Wow, that sounds ominous. The crevices.
I mean, yes. I mean, yeah, it's a wonderful world of memes and not safe for work. What I love is everybody's now like, it's my birthday, give me nudes.
I know, nudes. I love it, yeah.
And what is even better about that is so many people are like, all right.
I also am like waiting for the day that we have enough people to where every day is someone's birthday.
Man, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I know. Right now, we just get nudes occasionally.
It reminds me of that math problem. It was like, how many people do you have to have in a room to make sure that someone knows somebody who shares a birthday? Mm. It's like 13.
Yeah.
I think.
It's surprisingly few.
But that's only to know somebody. If you want to have two people with the same birthday, it's a lot different. But anyway, I don't know.
Math.
But this is not a math podcast either. It could be, but it's not.
No.
Yeah, so this is episode 400. Before we get into the nitty gritty, we do have a pendulum party coming up on April 26th. I was very much hoping I'd be able to announce something about that. However, the wonderful organizers, not us, the people who host us, Lawrence and Jess, have yet to get back to us as to a small detail, but you know, maybe in the future you'll hear about it.
Yeah.
Watch Instagram.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm sure it'll come out.
It will.
Yeah.
Like me.
No, I think that's already happened, babe.
Fine. He says, drinking a nice glass of red wine. So, Angela. Where do you want to start?
So last week in
399.5,
we rehashed our beginnings. So we talked about, well, no, we didn't talk about, we replayed our very first episode.
Technically we talked about, past us, Passford and Pistangela.
Stangela, yeah.
Like a pistachio. She's a hard nut to crack.
That's so true. But yeah, so we replayed our very first episode where we talked very slowly.
Did we?
Holy shit, yes. Oh my God, it was like, why? No wonder people listened to it like 1.5 times.
That's funny. I don't listen to anything.
Yeah, I don't know why. Whatever. Anyway, we did. So we replayed that one, followed by our coming out stories. And so that gave a little bit of background on where we came from and like how we started this podcast and all of that kind of stuff. So this week I wanted to go into, I mean, we've been doing this 400 episodes.
How many years is it?
The end of 2015. So it's now been 8.5 years almost. So it's been a while.
Yeah.
And we've been open since the beginning of our relationship, which was
2012.
So
the end of 2012.
Yeah. So 11.5 years now. So just kind of wanted to think back over all these journeys that we've had and look at how we've grown, things that have gone well,
mostly pant
that
size,
have gone bad. Yes. Pant size, things that have gone well, things that have gone bad, pivotal moments, that kind of thing. So just look at all the different aspects. And I wanted to look at it in relation to ethical non-monogamy and open relationships, kink, podcasting, all the stuff. So happy to start wherever you feel best.
So I also want to add that we had a couple of questions. We did put it out to our Discord listeners, and I'm going to go ahead and ask these questions because I feel like we're going to touch on them with what you said. But basically, they'd be interested to hear any low points in the lifestyle. They know it's kind of a bummer, but still, they want to know.
So low points is in like when we almost thought about quitting or not wanting to continue.
Throwing in the towel.
Things were bad.
Yeah. Also, in the lifestyle, best moment ever, most cringeworthy moment, and the moment that got away, when you wished you had done something differently to get lucky. And then finally, somebody else seconded those questions and added to it, what is one sexual fantasy that each of you have on your bucket list still to do? Why haven't you done it? And what will you do to make it happen and when?
Awesome. Okay.
Those I like great. Those. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So any particular place you want to start, or should we just start with the ethical non-monogamy open relationship?
Yes. Let's start at the beginning.
Okay. So at the beginning of our journey, as many of you know, if you've listened to the previous 399.5 episodes. So Bradford and I have been open from the very beginning. We were dating other people when we started hooking up. And then when we started dating, we decided that we wanted to continue that. At that point, our thinking was that we would keep seeing other people separately and still see each other, because I have to be honest, I didn't really know there was anything else. And you were hooking up with a couple at that point and introduced me to them. And that was kind of our first swinging experience and our first experience hooking up with people together. And it was like, holy shit, this is a lot of fun. And we really enjoy this.
It is really funny because I look back on reflecting on the last decade. It's kind of a weird thing to say, but yeah, reflecting on the last decade, I do have very wonderful, vivid memories of you sitting on the toilet in your old apartment back in the States.
Lid closed, just talking.
Well, yeah, you were actually filing your toenails or probably painting your toenails or something like that.
I think I was painting them,
I'm in the shower and we're talking about a guy had just left your place and I had just gotten back from some hookup. And we're just kind of talking about it. And I still remember very clearly that at least the feeling of peeking my head out and talking to you and showering and then spending the night and what that felt like.
And I think that was a good basis for us anyway, because it was very communicative as to what we liked, what we didn't like, you know, what would we do different, and just the experiences and how we felt about them. And I think having that very open communication from the beginning set us up very well.
Yeah. I think it was a good foundation sort of to build a relationship upon.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've really continued that throughout. Obviously y'all have heard some of the things on the podcast over time, some, you know, discussions and things as we've gone through, good, bad, whatever, fun times that we've had, many, many, many good times with we've had. And there's also many more conversations that you're not privy to. But I do think that
there's not. We don't speak to each other when we're not on the podcast. That's the successful relationship goals.
If there's no microphone in front of you, you get 1 hour to talk to each other, right. 1 hour a week.
1 hour a week that we actually speak to each other. All other times, We are just watching YouTube videos. Playing with a dog.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That's not true.
No, no. But I do think it is important to continue that and to keep that communication open, keep those channels open. And there'll be times, I mean, obviously we've gone through periods, you know, there's ups and downs, and we've gone through periods where we haven't communicated as frequently or as well. There's times that we're, you know, off kilter from each other, you know, we're not synced up. And then there's times where it's like everything is perfect and just really happening. And, you know, kind of hold on to those times and remember through the other ones that you're going to sync back up. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good advice. I like that.
Mm.
And it's true. And as much as you hate those moments where you're not in sync, I think it's something that you push through and yeah. and sooner or later you suddenly you're synced back up.
Yeah. And I think like some of looking at some of the good things that we've kind of gone through, I mean, we've met so many amazing people through this lifestyle, and some of that is credit due to the podcast, people that we've met through podcast events.
For some reason, people want to meet us. I don't know why.
And also events that we've done. But
yes.
And so we've met so many amazing people. We've had a lot of good experiences, dates and trips, vacations, weekends, just different kind of just everything, really. I mean, and you think about it, like over this time, we've also met the gentleman and not only started hooking up with him, started dating him. We've met Leo. We've met Kobe Judy, like our whole little Polly family. Yeah. Our whole Polly family has built up, right? Just little by little. And
we're collectors.
Like, but polyamory was never in the cards. It was never anything we were interested in. And it was something that after we moved to Sydney, we were like, okay, let's explore this. Let's see, just in case. And we had some very, I'm going to say woo-woo experiences with polyamory in the beginning. Velvet Jesus.
Velvet Jesus. I forgot about Velvet Jesus.
Yeah. So we had some experiences that, and then there was this like whole circle thing. I did not do well in the whole circle thing of like the whole touching, people touching me. I know it was weird. Anyway, we had some experiences that were like supposed to be open you up to polyamory and you know, be accepting of these things. And I was just like, nah, I can't do this. Don't like this. Not for me. And so I was very much against it, just like, cause it was like, this is way too out there for me. And I can't do this.
It's very interesting because I'm a member of a couple of poly groups on Facebook. Yes, I'm that old that I still have a Facebook account.
At least it's not MySpace.
they killed MySpace. And like, I gotta be honest, people are dying to be my top three friends. Anyway. But I look at the problems that people have and, you know, people ask advice and it's so funny because number one, these poly groups claim to be these open, accepting, wonderful things. But then anytime that anybody comes in saying that they're a couple, that they have a third, they immediately are like, oh, you're a fucking unicorn hunter. And they shoot these people down. Whereas we know unicorns that actually look for couples.
Yeah.
So there is this sort of, I mean, there are unethical ways of doing it, sure. But then they're okay if it's a woman.
I was going to say, but isn't that weird that like, that it matters what gender the person is?
Yes. And that tells me that number one, the problem is actually you.
Yeah.
It is funny. I flip through it. I look through the comments sometimes. I am a lurker galore in those. I'm not dumb enough to post my opinions because I'm sure that they would be attacked. But it does make it funny because so many people look at these groups and go, oh, these people are doing it successfully, in air quotes, because many of them are not. They are like every other group. They are extremely judgmental. They are extremely. So if you are looking for something like polyamory, I think the thing is, do it the way that works for you. Don't emulate anybody else. And we were fortunate in that we weren't looking for it.
Yeah.
It just sort of happened.
Yeah. And when saying do it the way that works for you, I mean, it could be you have no idea any way to do it. And so definitely do research, do a lot of reading, join groups, join a variety of groups because some will fit you, some won't. But yeah, just do a lot of research as to different types of polyamory. I know we did an episode on all the different kinds of polyamory.
It's in one of the 400.
Yeah, I could go look it up, but I don't know what it is. If you just search, like if you put into your podcast app, you know, the podcast and search for polyamory, it'll come up.
A couple of times.
Yeah. Or we can do it again at some point, which is very possible. But there are different kinds of polyamory, and it's a matter of, yeah, what works for you? And also, who do you happen to meet and what works for them, that dynamic? Because you may think that you want one kind of polyamory, and then actually somebody comes along and completely flips that on its head.
Yeah. And I think the most important thing is, if somebody is telling you you're doing it wrong, don't listen to them. And I think that's what makes me mad about like the Facebook groups is there's so many people saying you're not doing it right. Like, fuck you. There's no right way to
do anything. No.
Except bake a cake. There's a very right way. It's like science. Like, it's, you've got to, or like science. Like, anyway, but in relationships, there's no one right way.
No.
And there are many right ways. And if somebody's telling you you're doing it wrong, I would say that they are wrong.
And that goes for polyamory. That goes for any kind of open relationship, because there's a lot of different ways open relationships work and look. And I would say ethical non-monogamy or even monogamy. Some people say, oh, you're doing it wrong because you're monogamous. No, actually, you're not. If that works for you, then great. That's completely fine. But yeah, I think for us, we just kind of thought we were going to start out one way, and then we've kind of ended up in a very different place. But it's by being open, by communicating all along the way, and just kind of seeing what comes along and questioning it and kind of being like, all right, is this what we want? Are we happy with this?
It's really interesting because it goes back to, and I know I've said this on the podcast before, but I think it always bears repeating. One of my favorite things about you, one of your best traits, has always been your immediate yes to most questions. You live life as if you're on an improv stage, which is why I think you're so good at improv, is that like you never say no. You're like, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. When somebody asks you, do you want to do this? Do you want to try this? Do you want to go here? Do you want to whatever? And it's funny because that sort of yes and that you live your life with, it got you hooking up with me. It got you dating me. It got you to Australia.
Yeah.
It got us then to the Swingers Club.
It got us the podcast.
Yeah. It got us into polyamory. It got us into kink. It got us into so much stuff, because once I saw all the wonderful things that you could do, I started emulating that as well. Mm. And I find that recently I've not been as yes Andy, and I'm not yes Andy. That's kind of funny. I want that on a shirt. Hi, I'm yes Andy. But I'd love to be more yes and. Mm. And it's just really hard recently with life and work and everything. But I still try to emulate that as much as I can, because I see the wonderful things that you do and are done for you, with you, to you, by you.
Yeah. It's a good way to be. And if you try it and you don't like it, great. Don't do it again. Well, try it twice maybe, but don't do it again. Unless it's a truly hard no, then don't. But
right. Like Roman showers.
Yeah.
Hard no. Sorry.
For you. Yeah.
For me. Well, yeah, right. Was it not for you? You're considering it now?
No, but some people out there don't yuck someone's yum.
No, I'm not going to yuck their yum, but you asked what a hard no is.
So along this E&M journey of ours and our just kind of open relationship, swinging poly journey, what are some, I don't want to say memorable moments, because there are so, so many, we couldn't list them all, but what are some times where you said yes, and it's particularly paid off? Do you want me to start?
Yeah, I've got a couple that sort of, but I'm kind of curious where you go.
Okay, so first I would say, I mean, as you can all expect, is the gentleman.
Oh, yeah.
So he came to Pendulum, and it was the second Pendulum, was it?
Yes, it was. And I just want to say that was back when Lawrence was having me vet the guys, and we would have them send an email with a face shot. I said yes to him, even though his face shot had these giant like sunglasses where you couldn't see his eyes. And he has very pretty eyes, so fuck you. You should have. Yeah, but I still said yes.
Yeah. And so after the Pendulum, we got an email from him following up. It was a very sweet email and asking if we wanted to meet up. And so we did. And just, again, saying yes to that, just a simple like, hey, let's catch up for a drink.
You were in a boot.
I was, yeah.
You were in two boots.
I was in two boots.
And on crutches. And we went to a place with stairs.
Yeah, it was good. So it's one of those, you know, what if we can have a drink after getting my ass up those stairs? And it's great. It's fine. But again, it's just saying yes to that. It's like, all right, let's meet up. Let's have a drink. And that's one thing we have never really shied away from is meeting people.
Yeah.
Just have a drink, have a conversation. If it doesn't work out, great. It doesn't work out. But if it does, then amazing. There's a whole new relationship that's born.
Yeah.
And so I think that's definitely a highlight.
Well, you know, you look at that, the other Kobe and Judy were that way.
Yep.
We were doing some of our sex ed things and they hung out afterwards and then asked us. I think there was a couple of other folks out there that are friends way out in Orange that are, you know, they run so far. They ran to Orange. I'm pretty sure they could run from Orange to Sydney and be like, oh, yeah, you know, I just ran here. Look, I'm going to eat some pizza with a fork and knife.
There's a lot of people like that.
Yes.
And there was like, I mean, I'm just going to go through a couple of others that come to mind immediately that are, I'm reaching beyond the obvious, like close family friends kind of ones, right? But there was a couple at a newbie night, and this is when we were going to newbie nights regularly, and it was some newbie nights there were a lot of people that needed to learn how to kind of get things going, and some newbie nights people were like ready to go. But this particular newbie night, there was a couple that I didn't quite feel like fit in with the rest of the crowd, and they were sitting back watching. That's also their style, but they were sitting back just kind of watching and listening and participating some. But it was... it just didn't feel like it was one of those nights that Jenga came out and you know how that can just kind of take over.
Yeah.
And so I ended up going over and chatting with them, and we've had a great relationship with them ever since. They're just really lovely people.
We did a New Year's with them.
We did a New Year's with them. There was another couple who, you were behind the bar one night and I was out socializing with people, and I was talking to this couple and I was like, oh my God, they're amazing. We need to, you know, catch up with them. I need to introduce Bradford to them. And then I went to the bar to tell you, and you're like, oh my God, there's this couple. And you served them at the bar and it ended up being the same couple. So there's times like that. There's been times where we've gone to swingers clubs in other areas, like when we were out in Perth and we hooked up with the Acrobat.
Oh my God, that was so much fun.
That was one of those times that we...
A Cirque du Soleil acrobat.
Yeah, we saw him across, you know, in the swingers club, and he was talking to somebody else. Then he went to play with some folks, and we were kind of like, oh, maybe we've missed our chance. Then he came out, showered, came out, and he was at the bar again, and we were like, all right, let's go talk to him. It was one of those moments like, let's just take our chances. Let's just see. And we went and talked to him. We ended up going to a closed private room and playing with him for a while till the club closed. It was fantastic.
That was good fun.
So again, it's just taking those moments of like, hey, there's someone I'm interested in. Let's go have a chat.
It's really funny. I think that I forget more than I've ever remembered with this stuff, because I forgot the acrobat. But yeah, that was a really just stupid experience,
and
right?
Surprisingly like, fun, because I mean, I get...
Because I remember talking to him at the bar and he asked me how we were finding it. And I was like, oh, it's good. Like, it's kind of hard because I'm bi, and you know, I say that and most people get turned off. He goes, oh, I'm bi too. And I'm like, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah. And he very fluidly played with both of us.
Have you met Angela? Yeah. That was good fun.
Yeah.
It is interesting because like one of the questions was, what was one time that you took a risk and it really paid off? Mm. And I'm going to say, and we may have never even said their names on the podcast, but these were the names that we were given, Sam and Sabine.
Yep. Yep.
I think that both of them are so far out of our league.
100%.
Like out of my league, at least, maybe not out of your league, but like when we first met, they walked into the club and like people were like, oh, like
drooling.
Like there are those people that sometimes people walk into the club and everybody's like, I just want to smell your farts. Like that's like, right. It's that kind of person. And that's the kind of people they are.
Yeah.
And you talk to them and they're intelligent and engaging and funny and just wonderful, wonderful people. And we took the risk to introduce ourselves and now we've been friends. We went to their wedding where like we've played with them countless times. Yeah. They're lovely, wonderful, funny humans.
They're such fun people.
And I think that was one of those times that we took a risk. And honestly, if it just been me, I would have just said, nope, I'll sit on my hands.
Yeah. And I would agree that like, I absolutely feel that they're out of our league, but there's something there that they still talk to us and still want to be friends.
But why?
But they are really lovely people. So yeah, there's a lot of instances like that. And that's why I just encourage people, like, just talk to people, just say yes. If you don't get along or if it's not what you want, fine, but at least you've tried.
And I think that's the other thing is we need to remind people that we're talking about the good parts.
Yeah.
Like for every Sam and Sabine, there's four or five other couples that we've hung out with for a little while. You know, it didn't work, or it just, we couldn't communicate, or it just wasn't, the chemistry wasn't there.
Yeah.
And
but that's, I think that's also the benefit of, and it's hard because we've talked before about going to a club if you are have one area that you're able to go to, or like doing online dating. And there's benefits to both. Online dating, there's a lot more to cull through. You may spend more time going out, you know, one-on-one or couple-on-couple to have drinks or catch up or whatever, coffee. But at a club, you can kind of get through a fair number of people and have a quick conversation and be like, all right, like, is there any chemistry? Is there not? Cool. Yeah. And just, you know, kind of go through at that point.
And which is why you should have a card with your number on it or information or how to contact you. Mm. Because we've done that recently where we don't have our cards on us. Yeah. We meet people and then that's it.
Like crap.
Yeah. Well, you know, we hope that they will contact us. Whereas if we traded cards, we know we would have contacted them. Mm. They could have ghosted us. It's fine. But still.
Yeah. All right. So any times that stick out to you as, I'm going to say, not the best experiences and where you wish that we had done something different or it didn't turn out the way you expected?
So that's tough because I do think that every experience is a learning experience. And while I sort of process that question, just to go back on the positive things, because did I say all of my positives? Because I know Sam and Sabine,
okay.
But like, I'm just going to kind of run through them as they pop into my head, even though if you've listened to the original podcast, it wasn't a great review the first time we ever went to OSS. I'll go back and say the first time that we went to that crazy house party in the States with our friends that were our first swinging couple, that first time we played in a public space where like some random guy just walked up to you and was like, hey, can I go down on you? And you were like, yeah, sure. Like that whole experience was just kind of amazing. Moving on to my splashing party for my 40th, your 40th gangbang. Was just not your 40th gangbang, but it could have been your 40th birthday party, which was a gangbang. Just the opportunities that we've been given. And I may be sweeping now from E&M to everything else, but like the opportunities that we've been given just by being friends with the wonderful humans behind OSS.
Yeah.
If you've listened to the OSS podcast, they just recently got to their 69th. If you haven't, go listen to it. We're on there along with Prue and Andy. DJ Blaze. So Lawrence and Jess have always been so open and kind, and the opportunities that we've gotten to create pendulum parties, to create these safe, wonderful spaces, to start sex ed in the city, and kind of do adult education about sex. Those were wonderful. All of that was wonderful. The opportunity to go to Mexico for the Life on the Swing Set takeover.
Yep. Now we're getting into the podcasting bit.
Sorry. But that's also lifestyle stuff, right?
It is.
I don't even look at it from a podcast point of view. Just that experience. Then taking the gentleman the second year
and
watching him blossom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are many things. Because the problem is so many and so much of what we've done has bled into other things. Me going from, you know, a complete sub to a switch. And then that experience between Spanky and I, that kind of, it's wonderful. Like there's so many positive things and I can bounce around, but
I think there have definitely been way more positives.
Yeah. Doing the going to the clubs in New York and being like, whoa, this is such a different world. Mm. Going to the one in Nashville and being able to buy so many stupid sex toys from the Auto Blow to to the Womanizer to my fox hood to my full inflatable fox suit to, I don't know, 30 floggers, paddles, and
I also want a few more.
At all. Who gets to live like this?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm done now.
Yeah.
No, I'll sit back for a second. Take a breath.
All right. So E&M downsides? Or do you want me to give a couple?
No, I mean, the downsides are, it's just a time suck.
Yeah.
And like, that's not a bad thing, really. But I feel constantly and persistently guilty because I feel like I'm not as present as I could be or should be for the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people. 6. Forgot you. for the six people.
You know, it doesn't matter.
That I love, right? And so, yes, when we've often talked about this, it's about, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships. But sometimes I feel like I'm either completely disconnected or because of work or life or focus or even the podcast sometimes. Mm. Like the fact that, like, and this sounds wanky as fuck, I know this, but I actually love all of our listeners and the people in our Discord chat. There's a part of me that, part of my heart that belongs to them as well. And so I kind of feel like sometimes I'm spread so thin that you can see the butter through the bread.
Mm. Bread through the butter.
God damn it. I even restarted that, folks, and I still got it wrong. and it's just, I think that's a dark spiral that you can start going down. It's like, there's not enough of me to go around. I'm out of spoons. I'm whatever. And I think that's something that it's not a negative. It is a negative, but
it's something that everyone experiences in life, whether they have other partners or not. Even if you don't have a partner, like, you still go through that with your friends or family.
Yes.
And like, there's, I think we just, I don't want to say we live in a time, because I think it's always been this way, but there's a lot of external pressures on us, and from community, from work, from family, from friends, from everything. We have expectations of ourselves and how we want to be in those spaces. And if we can't be everything we want to be in every space, which, let's be realistic, is it's not realistic.
Yeah.
You can't. Like, nobody has that kind of energy, time. You just can't do it. There's going to be times where you have to give a little bit, or where other people are, you know, if they don't hear from you for a couple of days, it's fine. It's not the end of the world. You don't, and because also they probably have shit going on that they don't have time for you either.
Yeah.
So I think we have to be kinder to ourselves and those around us, that sometimes we just need a few moments, a few days, weeks, whatever, to get away, kind of reset ourselves, and, you know, obviously check in with folks and make sure they're okay. But if they're like, nah, I just need some time, fine, let it be. And don't expect to have constant communication from everyone, because that's not realistic.
Yeah, no, I know, you're right.
I will say that a couple of times, because this was asked as one of the questions, I will say that I can't think of too many times that we've gotten into a situation I was like, I really wish we weren't in this situation. There is one that I can think of.
Upstairs at the old space?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Where we went upstairs with a couple, and it seemed like she very much did not want to be part of things. And when it was, we kind of played a little bit, and then we're like, all right, we're not comfortable, we're going to get out of the situation. And she was kind of like, don't leave. I was like, oh, okay, this doesn't seem like a good situation for anybody. So that was definitely one that was like, you know, I mean, we handled it as best we could, but it was just like, this is not a good, comfortable situation. I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. There haven't been too many of those.
No, though. Those are very few and far between, fortunately.
Yeah. And then I would say the only time we've really questioned whether we want to stay in the lifestyle or not.
I know this one. I'm going to call the space was Wine Glass Bay.
Yeah. We were in Tassie, and we were starting a hike up a mountain, and we had gotten STI tested right before we left on this particular holiday. And right before we started up the hike on the mountain, Bradford got a call from the clinic saying that he was positive for gonorrhea.
Dun, dun, dun.
And so we were like, okay, that's, you know.
Well, that sucks.
I mean, it sucks, but we went up the mountain and had a big discussion as to the risks of this lifestyle, and is it something we want to continue? All of that kind of stuff. And basically at the top of the mountain, we were like, yeah, it is something we want to continue. We're willing to accept these risks, and we'll just deal with things as they come.
Pun intended. Also, we had sex on the way up or on the way down. It was great.
Yeah. And then we get down to the bottom, and he had a call from the clinic, and they were like, oh, sorry, we made a mistake, because y'all probably don't know a lot about STI testing, but any gonorrhea positives, at least here in Australia, have to be reconfirmed on another test. And they had called him after the first positive, but there's, you know, a certain percentage of false positives. They had not waited for the secondary result yet to give him a call. Secondary result came back. It was negative, so it was fine. No gonorrhea. But we still had the conversation. We're like, yeah, this is something we still want to do, even despite the risks. But yeah. I think that's the only time we really, really questioned it.
I think so too. Like, because it is funny. Like, I've never really thought, God, I'm going to go ahead and say what popped into my mind originally. I've never really thought, no, I just want to fuck you for the rest of my life. I'm so sorry. I mean, I would if I had to, but
what kind of life would that be?
What kind of life would that be? Who would go to Bunnings with you? Right?
Right. Yeah.
Who would I go to theater with? Like, and see these horrible, shitty little shows that still somehow make me cry. Anyway, love you, Leo. Quit.
Like, yeah, no, it's definitely something that's the only time we've really ever questioned it. And it was just like, is it worth the risk? And the answer, our answer was yes.
Yes,
it is.
Resounding yes.
Yeah. It may not be everyone's answer, but yeah, it was ours. All right. So as we move away from the E&M and open relationship discussion, we're going to take an ad break.
Yes. Got to keep the lights on.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
March is coming up, and you know what else is coming? The Ides of March. And you must beware the Ides of March, so saith the soothsayer to Caesar. So, you know what Caesar really needed? Some new sex toys. Like, honestly, if Brutus had had some sex toys, he wouldn't have had to say, et tu, Brute, because Brute would have had something in his boute, like a butt plug. So where do you go to get one of those? Well, you could go to adamandeve.com. If you go to adamandeve.com and use checkout code By the by, not only will you get free shipping prior to the Ides of March, you will also get one item at 50% off. That is a lot off. You also get some videos on demand, 6 to be exact, and some extra things thrown in your box. It all comes delivered just like Caesar would want it, discreetly. So, before the Ides of March rolls around, all you have to do is go to adamandeve.com and use checkout code By the by. That's B-Y-T-H-E-B-I. And then you too can say, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your rears. And let us know what you think. Kinky Humans is part of the Curious Humans set. We love them. It's an amazing game. And you can get yours for 10% off. How? Well, you know, if you listen, use checkout code By the by. It's curioushumansgame.com. And with the Kinky Human set, you'll get questions like this.
Wearing costumes turns me on.
And does it? I don't know. It does me. I like costumes.
Agreed.
If you roll in a costume, I'll roll out all over you. If you want to ask yourself questions like this, your partner, partners, or even your family, you know, I'm not going to judge you. You might be from West Kentucky or Tasmania. Use checkout code By the by. That's B-Y-T-H-E-B-I, and go to curioushumansgame.com.
As we continue talking about our journey, let's shift focus to kink and like how far we've come with that.
Woofed.
Because we've gone from basically nothing, right?
Yeah. Like we've gone from, these fuzzy handcuffs are a little too far for me. That was me in my previous relationships. Like, oh my gosh, these are kind of scary.
Yeah, neither of us had really explored kinks too much, and certainly not seriously, before we met each other. There was, you know, the little, you know, role play here, there, kind of whatever that you would expect, but nothing really at all. So I think that just kind of getting into this lifestyle, being exposed, because there is crossover between the swinger world and the kink world. and being exposed to that and just seeing things that were out there, you know, just impact play. And I think for us, we started with impact play. That was where, that was our first introduction.
And it's interesting because, like, so I had never had, I grew up in the 80s, right? So the last thing you want to do is smack a woman. and then like all these women were asking me to smack them. I'm like, wait, what? and then of course you were like, don't you fucking, you can do it once. Everybody gets one, like Spider-Man and Family Guy. Yeah. So it was interesting because then it was like, oh wait, I can be smacked too. This is great. And that's how it really started, I think, kind of for us. I don't even remember the first experience that we had.
Yeah, I'm not really sure because you have the S and you got that, the Liberator S, and you got that before we started hooking up.
Yeah.
When your ex moved out. And so you had that. And
what's
and
funny about that is the only reason I got the one with D-rings, so it has D-rings all around the bottom. The only reason I got that one was because the cover itself wasn't microfiber. Mm. And I thought to myself, this is going to be a lot easier to clean because you can just wipe it down. You don't have to wash it. And so it is. It's a lot easier to clean.
Yeah.
It wasn't functional. It wasn't like, oh, I want the D-rings because it's kinky. Mm. It was, I don't want to wash the cover every time I use it.
Yeah, and we have used the D-rings a lot for bondage, for restraint. And I tend to like it both restraining someone, blindfolding them, playing with them, but also doing a lot of sensation play. And so we, you know, moved into that. I think the first time that, and we were exposed to like Shibari and things a lot before, but I think what really opened my eyes a lot to a lot of different kinks and some very different kinks for us, very different kinks, was our first Desire visit.
Great.
Going to Desire, the Life on the Swing Set takeover, they did the dungeon night. That was the first time, and even before that, there was a workshop, and that was the first time we were exposed to electro play, just all kinds of things. And it was like, this is wax play. It's like, this is pretty fucking amazing. And it's like all this stuff that now we want to try and just see if we like it. And much of it we have, and we do, and some of it, it's like, sure, I enjoy it, but I don't have time for it. And so, you know, there's it's kind of a mixed bag there.
Because it is a time and space thing, right? It's a big investment. And I will agree that I still remember there was probably six of us standing in a circle, standing around Duncan, and he was like, do you all want to feel the violet wand? And we're like, yes. And I still remember him just dragging it up. He's a wonderful, wonderful human. Mm. Very straight. Which is not a negative,
no.
But he rubs it up and down my arm. And I immediately was like, can I give you a hug? And he was like, absolutely, bring it in. And it's like, just that sweet, wonderful kindness. And being able to meet, because we met and then had dinner with Tristan Termino, and her, you know, explaining to us kink and like, fuck it. Like, I don't want to be that guy, but she literally wrote the book on it. And she's watching her work and watching her teach. That was one of those, we were in the perfect location to learn, and we were sponges.
Yeah. I think at that point in our journey, we were several years into the swinging lifestyle. We had been exposed to kink a bit and we were open to learning more, but yet nothing was so far that it was unfathomable for us.
Right.
It was very much whatever you've got, I'm willing to experience it, take it in. And there were a lot of things. And during the dungeon night, there were many tops, service tops, doms that were working their magic. And we just sat back and watched and it was like, holy shit, this is amazing.
And wasn't that the first time I think the first time we were there, didn't I sub for Ginger?
Yes.
And
yeah,
that was one of those moments that was the first time I'd ever been on a St. Andrew's Cross, was the first time that somebody had ever done like double Florentine, like proper impact play on me. And then she was like, do you want to learn some? Mm. Like, again, it was a space full. I think it was really good for us because it was a space full of openness and kindness that taught us how to treat people who came to us who wanted to learn. And I can't say enough about that dungeon night.
And that whole group.
And that whole group. The Life on the Swing Set people are good people.
Yeah.
And so Yeah, it was such a great experience, and I look back on that with nothing but fondness.
And I think we learned a lot too, just to interrupt here for a second.
Yeah, please.
Talking about like Ginger and stuff, I think we learned a lot about how to build a scene. Yes. So not just like, oh, here's impact play, this is how we do it. And you know in theory, okay, we build up, you know, impact, aftercare, but just to kind of see it and take it in and have an experience to then emulate, I think was really helpful.
Yeah, and it's just it was such a good learning experience for me. That was the first space that I'd ever seen electroplay. I think that was the first space that I was that close to suspension for the first time, watching Tyler suspend people. There's the first person that I'd ever met that did pet play with a service pony.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there was a lot of firsts for us at that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that whole week was full of firsts, but specifically from the kink point of view, I think that was the pivotal turn for us to go, whoa, this is a community for us. Because we had done munches before, and we always felt like when we'd done the munch in Sydney, we felt like we just didn't fit in.
Yeah.
And it was not that it was clicky, but everybody knew each other. Mm. We all know how hard it is to bump into something that is a group of people who know each other.
Unless there's people there who specifically try to include and open up. Which
and which again was something that we'd learned that we try to do at Pendulum now. Mm. So it's interesting. And I think that the moral of this story is like, we should constantly be learning. We should constantly be trying to better ourselves, but we should constantly be trying to figure out what it is about the things that we like that we actually like. And kink was definitely something that I think lit a fire in both of us.
Yeah, absolutely. And we dabbled in it before, but just really elevating it and learning more. It was a really good time for us in our kink journey to be in a space like that and to experience it. And then also, you know, of course with the gentleman, he's tries everything. So he's not going to say,
I don't think I've ever heard that boy say no.
So having him along the kink journey as well has been amazing. Because if it's something that you're not interested in, he'll always try it. And doesn't mean he necessarily enjoys it, although there's not much I think we found that he hasn't really enjoyed.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
Because, again, things like sounding, being able to see that, which is still something that I find absolutely cringeworthy. But I remember the first time we did it where you went full latex nurse. Mm. And we, you know, we went to like we did what you should do, which is like we boiled everything, we made sure that everything was sterile, like
and
it
create
was
the scene
create, we created the scene and it was really amazing.
And so I think like along all of this, just like you said, just saying yes to things and experiencing things. And we've been to many kink parties, we've seen kinks that were like, that's really, I'm love to watch it, but I'm not going to participate in it.
Like we've seen people do
needle play
where they created a lace corset and it was amazing, but like magically horrific.
Yeah.
Like I
love to watch that kind of stuff. Am I going to do it? No, I'm not, but I love to watch it. So yeah, just being able to just appreciate all the different kinks that are out there, whether it's something we necessarily want to participate in or not.
Agreed.
And then also just expanding our capabilities and our skills and what we do. And it's just, the whole thing has just been amazing.
Yeah. It has. And that's something that, and then me like moving out of my sub side to find my switch side and realizing that I can sort of very easily switch. There's literally a switch in my brain that I can turn on or off to make me more dom or make me more sub.
Yeah.
Finding that was one of those, again, a magical, and I'm going to blame Spanky really on that, because it's like, oh shit, I found somebody who's subbier than me. And then the times that we've played together with her in a scene, kink scene situation, has sort of helped me cultivate the desire and the love of finding my more aggressive dom side. Yeah. And I do enjoy it. And it is definitely one of those things that I think I can speak for you as well, that being a service dom or service sub for me, is something that I really enjoy. I like doing something for people because they enjoy it.
Yeah.
And definitely. It appeals to my people pleaser, my Gen X people pleaser sort of side, both being dom and sub. It's great.
Mm-hmm. And then also, I mean, we don't want to leave this out, but like pet play and the inflatable suit, like, again, all of these things that we've just, as you go along the journey, and if you're looking at what else is out there, and we know people who've been in the kink scene for a long time who are like, okay, what else is there? Like, I've done this for a while. I really enjoy it. Now what?
What's next?
Like, you know, happy to continue enjoying this, but is there something more that I could be exploring too?
And I gotta be honest, I feel like I'm sort of in that boat. Like, we've done so much, I'd kind of like to see what else is there.
Yeah.
And like, we've tried things like golden showers, the traditional stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I know what doesn't work for me, but like, I'm always open to find some new kink that I can spend an exorbitant amount of money on.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is it gets quite
expensive. Right, it gets pricey. Yeah. Kink is expensive.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah, definitely. All right, and so then if we move on to podcasting land, we've been doing this for 8.5 years now, almost.
I'm old.
Yeah, we're all getting there. It's fine. It's better than the alternative, babe.
Very true.
So, I mean, this has been a wild ride for us because we started it not thinking that really anybody was going to listen. But
we're two middle-aged white people, and we're like, yeah, sure, it can go out into the ether. We're cisgendered. It's great.
But at the same time, also, when we started this, you have to think, like, the reason we started it was because there were not many resources for bi men.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to at least have a beacon out there to where bi men knew that they were not necessarily alone. And then that kind of spread into not just bisexuality, but our whole relationship dynamic and all the things that we do. And that's grown and expanded along with us. So started, you know, us talking about our, you know, E&M journey, swinging journey, and our interactions with other folks. And then it's encompassed kink, poly, all the things that we do and that we've become.
What's really funny is I kind of look back on it and I'm like, fuck, the balls that we had to think that we had something to say that people wanted to listen to. And to put it out there and be like, well, you know, people will listen to it or they won't. And now, like, again, I say this with true honesty. The listeners to this podcast have a piece of my heart.
Mm. Yeah.
You invite us into your ear holes, mm-hmm. like once a week, sometimes more. Like, the number of folks that we've met that have been like, I've listened to your back catalog. And I'm like, that's 400 plus hours.
Yeah.
I don't even like my own voice that much. Like, how do you do that? Why do you do that? But honestly, thank you for doing that. Mm. And like, I'm hoping that like we have given you even a small percentage back. I hope you get what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Because you're right. When we first started, we were looking at like, let's help bi men. there's not a lot of resources out there for us. And, you know, there was Life on the Swing Set, who have done an amazing job.
There were some, but not near as much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because like a lot of the YouTubers that we watch and we love, they've been doing it for 10 years. They're all starting to quit, right? Mm-hmm. They're passing the torch on to somebody else. And often I ask that question, is like, is it time for us to pass that torch on to somebody else? Mm. And it's like, oh, who else is out there?
Maybe. I don't know.
Like, maybe. Like, maybe there needs to be somebody who can take this mantle and carry it on themselves. That, you know, we keep saying, are we saying the same things?
Yeah.
Are we just repeating? Are we creating an echo chamber? Which is not what I want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we just want to make sure that you know, it's still relevant out
there
to somebody.
That it's still useful and still enjoyable. And the last thing I want to do is become my parents, right? I know, I took a hard left there. But, you know, you don't want to become the thing that people just kind of roll their eyes and go, oh, good, Bradford's going off on his rant again.
Yeah. Yeah, but I will say that along the journey, though, some of the things that we've done, you know, we've done a lot of community work and connecting with others in the community, with the Biconic group here in Sydney, Bi+ Visibility. We've done talks at ACON and Sexpo and a few other places. And I will say that that's something that throughout all of this, you've always been good at getting up in front of people. You took improv classes. That helped immensely.
It did. Really. Honestly, if you are like, I'm terrible at talking in front of groups, take an improv class. I swear to you, you will not regret it.
Yeah. And with everything that we've done with the podcast and getting up in front of groups and things, I've gotten more comfortable as well talking in front of people.
You're great.
And so, but in the beginning, I wasn't comfortable. And now I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I'll get up and talk. I don't care. I can say some shit. Sure.
Yeah. It is funny. I think that no matter how much people have gotten out of the podcast, we probably both, the two of us, have gotten tenfold more.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. And so, yeah, just working with these community groups has been really great. And it's been good seeing some of these spaces over the time that we've been in Sydney really expand and become more visible to folks. And there just to be a lot more resources around. Creating spaces like Pendulum Party, where, you know, people of all genders and expressions can come play if they want to, have fun, interact with folks, like all of that. It's like, I think that's one of the things that I feel like we've done in a number of different ways, also with Discord, is try to create spaces where people can come together as a community. It's a safe space to ask questions and explore respectfully. But just ways to bring people together. And that's what drew us to Bree and Biconic and the Bi Plus Visibility Group.
Yeah.
Is just, you know, we need to bring community together because it is easy for people in the LGBTQ community to feel isolated.
Yeah, it that's totally true. And it's been such an honor and a pleasure to work with these other groups. And to, I look at Pendulum and I think that of everything that we've done, Pendulum is probably the thing I'm most proud of, because when we started, and longtime listeners know that Lawrence was like, I'll give you a Sunday. Jess was like, no, let's give them a Friday.
Was it a Thursday even? It was something like
that. It was some a Thursday or Sunday. That was our choice. And Jess was like, no, let's give it a fair shot. Let's give it a Friday. Mm. And the first few parties sold out like as soon as the tickets went up. And to see these, how it's grown from this, you know, like just a bi cis people party to now this wonderful, open, inclusive, like it doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your sexuality. It doesn't matter who you are, who you were, or who you hope to be. You are welcome and included. And one of the things that I love about it is listening to the staff talk about it. Mm. I think they always say that the Pendulum Nights are different from every other night. And for them, it's the best. And I think if it's good for the staff, it's good for all of us, because it means we're open. And they are always amazed at how we chat and how we like how friendly people are and how they never have problems from the guests, which look, there's always, you will have problems, but it's just few and far between. Mm. And that makes me really proud of the community and happy to be part of it. And it's like, it's you and I that are trying to captain this pirate ship. And it's really cool. It's really interesting and fun. And I'm like, I think that is more than anything else that you and I have done together with this podcast. The thing that still sticks out to me is Pendulum Party and seeing the wonderful, brilliant queer community that we have created come to a traditionally cisgendered facility.
Yeah, agreed. And I will say also, like, you know, thinking about Discord and the community there, that was a switch that we made during COVID.
Pivot.
Yeah, because it was like, okay, because at that point, you know, we were sending things out for Patreon people. It's like, we can't do that anymore because planes ain't flying in and out of Australia anymore. And so it's like, what are we going to offer people? Like, how do we connect with community? How do we say thank you for listening and allowing us into your ear holes every week? And
you're saying it now.
I know. And then so that's why we started Discord, was to try to give back to people and create a space where people could connect. And I think during COVID was a really great time to start that, because people were looking for a way to connect with folks. Many people were more isolated. They're not around their normal communities. They're not around even family and friends as much. And beyond that, we kept doing the podcast every week during COVID, even though we obviously weren't going to parties. We weren't having dates. We weren't meeting with people. So at times it was like, what are we going to talk about?
Why are we doing this?
But I also felt like it was important to do it, even though, and especially during COVID, we really, we didn't have time for anything.
Yeah.
But I thought it was important to keep doing it because I felt there needed to be some normalcy. And while sure people would often listen on their commutes and things, then you're stuck at home, you're not commuting, but I felt like there needed to be some normalcy, some contact with outside world, something, because if everything stops and there's no more content being created by anybody, what the fuck are you going to do? You're going to go mad.
Yeah.
And so I felt it was important just to keep something going. And that was why maybe not everything's amazing during that time, but we thought it was important to do at least be present.
And it's interesting, and selfishly, and I will probably get emotional through this part, warning, but I think it was really useful for us as a couple because it did give us that, it forced us to communicate. And like you were working 60 hours a week during COVID and I was working like not nearly as much as you were. I was stuck at home with a new dog who still looks at me as the spare human. but it was so good for us to spend that time and create the podcast and talk to one another, because if it wasn't for this podcast, I think that time could have been really hard on our relationship. We were forced to speak to each other really candidly and openly. And I think that if everybody knows I don't listen to the podcast, but I think if I were to listen to the podcast, that's what I would want to go back and listen to, because those months, years, fuck, were the times that were the hardest on so many relationships. Mm. But I think for us, it was one of those, like, we managed to keep connected. And like so many people were talking, oh, COVID's great because I'm having sex with my partner again because there's nothing else to do. But for us, it was kind of like we were drifting away very quickly. And doing the podcast was something that required us to sort of remain pinned to one another.
Yeah.
I love it.
It was a bit of a lifeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, it's like, it's so funny because most people are like, oh, the podcast, you do so much, you do so much. Admittedly, so much of what we've done has been selfishly, like, it's not, we're not doing it selfishly, but it is selfishly beneficial,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And having the Discord community, starting that around that time, it was, I mean, we didn't know how much people were going to interact with it. We didn't know how many people there would be, what it was going to be like. We had no idea. And so we started off with a few channels and we added channels quickly
as needed.
And it's just been like, honestly, it's a lifeline still to this day. Like go to it multiple times a day. And there's like, sometimes like, all right, I need something funny. Let's go to memes. I need pets. Let's go to the pets. Like,
I feel like giving advice. Yeah. Let's go to Ask Us.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been, I am so happy that we did it.
It was really good because like additionally, that put us in contact with wonderful humans who have spanned the earth. And when they are in our neighborhood, we've met them.
Yeah.
I think of Candy Coated. Like I knew of them. They were on Instagram. I followed them on Instagram. We met them. And because of the Discord chat, we got to spend an evening with them. And now we have our own squeak toy. Like, I love it.
Yeah,
like, honestly, so and we're already sort of planning how can we take this suit and wear it at next year's Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Like, how can we, like, I'm breaching out to Oz Furries. I'll be, you know, talking to them in the next few weeks. Like, how can we make this happen?
Yeah.
BTW Candy Coated. I may need to talk to you about an ice vest because it's hot. Anyway, but if it rains, fuck, I don't care. bitch be waterproof. Anyway, but
yeah.
The podcast has led us to Life on the Swing Set and their resort takeovers. The podcast has allowed us to talk and do live podcasts at things like Sexpo, Between Friends Wine Bar in Melbourne. Our Secret Spot and all the wonderful things that we've already talked about what they did to us.
Yeah.
To us.
yeah, so amazing.
And then recently with Escape. Mm. Like this will be our third year. And you know, our second year first 2 years we co-hosted. This year is just us.
Yeah.
We're doing a resort takeover, which, like, if you had told me this 10 years ago when we first started this stupid podcast with literally a headset and mic that was provided to me by my job.
Yeah.
In a fucking apartment that was more of a cave than it was an apartment. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Sitting on the lounge talking about stuff that we had no idea
apparently
what we were talking
very
about.
Very slowly.
Very slowly. All you right. all still listen to us on 1.5? Because if we do, you're like, Angela, you sound like, yeah, you sound like a fucking chipmunk. And I know that I can rant and go really quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. Okay. So looking into the future, what's the future, Bradford? Do you have a crystal ball?
So this is where we start with about the podcast. So I think that we need to slow it down a bit. From probably this week forward, we are going to be releasing fortnightly rather than weekly.
Bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly. And the reason we've made this choice, and this is a very difficult choice for us, we don't want to quit. We're not going to quit.
No.
We still have plenty. Like, you know me. I still have a lot of things to say.
You've either met Bradford or you've heard Bradford.
We still have a lot of things to say, but I think that we need to slow it down a bit. So we're going to move to a bi-weekly release.
Cadence.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that sounds sexy. Mm. I like that. And part of that reason is we've been talking about this for 6 months now between the two of us, and many of our poly family know that this is what we want to do. We're going to start a new podcast. If you like the sound of our voices and you're sad that you can't share our delightful humor with your friends and families in the vanilla side, we're going to start a new trivia podcast where we talk about things that have absolutely nothing to do with sex. I know, right?
Weird. Do we know things about things that aren't sex?
We're going to learn. That's the point, right? We're going to learn things about things that aren't sex. So we have a new podcast that's going to be coming out in the end of March, maybe early April, where we will be just sort of, there's going to be short ones, 30 minutes. We are going to be taking trivia facts, digging down and learning about new, beautiful, wonderful, stupid, crazy, awkward things. But it likely won't be sex. It may get to that, but you've met us. But it will be safe.
Yeah.
For even children's ears.
Yeah.
We promise. No F-bombs.
No swearing.
No swearing. Angela will be cutting all out. She'll be cutting out the fox.
I'm going to have to do a lot of editing.
So that's number one. You want to take it to number two?
Sure. So secondly, I just want to make sure that everybody knows we are going to be continuing Escape to the Tropics.
Yes.
We're going to be continuing pendulum parties.
Yes.
All the things that brings our community together absolutely will be going ahead.
In fact, we're going to try to work harder to do more things that bring the community together.
Yeah. So we want to kind of expand that out a bit. So definitely something that's not going to end. That's going to keep going. It might even grow. Who knows? We'll see where that goes. One of the other things that we are going to potentially do, this is a new thing that we've started exploring with another couple, but we're exploring a new party theme. So, you know, kind of like how Pendulum is hosted at our secret spot, we're in discussions with another couple to collaborate on a new party theme. It'll probably be Sunday afternoons, so it'll be a little more chill, a little different. We're not really going to give any more details until we see what's going to happen with it and kind of work some of that through. But it's another party. It's another space that we've been thinking, honestly, for a very long time that we want something like this available. And there's things adjacent to, similar to, but nothing really like what we've wanted. And then we started talking to this couple recently. They also host events. And immediately they were like, yeah, absolutely. We see a need for this. We'd be down to collaborate. So we're going to work on that and see if we can make something happen. So just stay tuned. There might be more information about that forthcoming.
Yes. So ultimately, look, we are not going to abandon you. We're just going to slow down just a little to give ourselves a little more. Like, we don't want to make the podcast work. And
we also don't want to just talk to you to talk to you, right?
Yeah. We want to give you information that you want that's good. We'll still be as active on our Discord. If you want to join our Discord, all you have to do is support us at any level on patreon.com/bythebypodcast. See what I did there? Just we want to explore other things. And we've got all this really nice expensive podcast gear. And it's kind of a shame. We're only getting 20,000+ downloads a month. We'd kind of like to, you know, see what else we can do with it.
Yeah. Now, this is definitely an experience that I enjoy. It's a media that, you know, for however long podcasts are around, I enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
But there are other, you know, things that we're interested in and that we want to explore and do with it.
And things that we want to talk about that, honestly, if you're listening to this podcast, you might not care about. We'll see where it goes. Yeah. And we're kind of excited. I'm very excited. I love trivia. I like learning things. I think that it'll be something that'll be new and exciting and different. I'm just very excited.
Yeah.
For something to chat about that's new and weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll
like
be
me.
It'll be really good. But we will still be doing this. We'll still be in your ear holes every other week. And if you're interested in hearing us more frequently, then you can check us out on that podcast. And we will obviously let you know when all of that gets going and started and all that good stuff.
Yes.
So yeah. So that's our future at the moment.
There we are. So the one thing we didn't talk about was, what are the things that you missed that you hope, like sex things? Mm. Like, what's something that you didn't, that you have never done that you really want to give her a good hard go? I have something. I'll jump ahead.
Okay.
So this is both a sex thing and a kink thing that is something that I would love to try. And it's one of those like spacer bars that refuses to let your legs close.
Yeah.
I don't care the gender.
Spreader
bar. Thank you. I don't know what it is. Like, I don't care about the gender. I just want to torture somebody in a loving, consensual way where they really wish they could close their legs. And yet, due to this giant piece of metal in between it, they may not. I know that this is not much different than tying somebody down in a spread eagle fashion on a bed, but I don't know. There's something nice about the I can do it anywhere kind of thing that a spreader bar kind of does. We don't own one, but perhaps we need to invest in one and then find a victim. I'm looking at you, Spanky, to maybe even the gentleman to like just tie you down and prevent you from closing your legs and letting me do whatever I goddamn well please within reason and until you say the safe word. That, I think, is one of the things that I really have never done. It's popped up in my porn feed recently, and I was kind of like, I like that. Angela just found one.
AdamandEve.com. We'll do some exploring.
We'll do some exploring, and then we'll use our own checkout code, by the by. If you skip through the ads, I improv'd that. It was very difficult.
This one was good. This week's was good. I liked it.
I like it, because Angela's like, most times it's shit.
But no, anyway. That's not true. This one was different, though, than normal.
It was different than normal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's, I think, for me, one of the things I'd like to try in the next 3 months.
Okay. Yeah, it's something you've talked about before, but we just, never have really gone down that path.
And I know it's not for you. Honestly, I'd love to put you in one, because there's some times that you really close your legs when I'm going down on you, and I'm kind of like, bitch, please. But I don't know. Would you consent to that?
I would try it.
So I also know how you are, and you would raise your legs and then break my back in half because you would bring them down.
I would not.
And I don't want to be laying on the
bed. I don't want to take care of you as an invalid unless I really, really have to.
Maybe it's one of those things that...
Not of my own making.
What if I laid on the bar and then it's like exercise for you? You have to lift the bar.
Sure, but...
I'm pretty sure our personal trainer would love that. Talking to you, wedged.
Yeah, I can see that being a great exercise, but also that's going to be very uncomfortable for you.
No, I put blankie over it.
Okay.
A little binky. Like, I have my binky over the bar. It's my binky bar.
All right.
I need a binky bar. Sorry. Go on.
No.
What's yours?
I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Angela's like, I've done it all.
I haven't done it all, but
Mama don't care.
honestly, I'm still like, there's things that I very much enjoy that I don't feel like I do often enough that I want to do more of. And so I'm trying to think of new things that I'd want to explore. And it's not necessarily new, but I think the squeaker thing, the fox suit, like that,
yeah.
I really enjoy. I've only been in it a few times, but I would like to do more of that because it is new and it's interesting and it really puts me in a different headspace than anything else that we do.
Yeah.
So I think I want to explore that a bit more.
So I'm also going to put something in your head that you've probably never considered. You may have considered it, but I would also love to do, which is a CFNM party here at the apartment.
Mm-hmm. If I'm you're at so home, down for this.
If you're at home and don't know what that is and you don't want to look it up, is a clothed female, naked male party. Basically, it's us being...
Or naked human, whatever.
But yeah, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. CFNH. but it is a... Yeah, it's a power play party. Mm. And I think that would be kind of fun to do for a couple of hours and like,
yeah, just, I'm so down for that.
I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So there you go. Taking applications. all you have to do is email us at theatomsoflove@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us on any of our socials. We are at By the By Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, or you can join us at Discord. How do you do that? Support us, like I said, at any level. We are www.patreon.com/bythebypodcast, or you can go to www.bythebye.com and go to our contact us page. That's right. You can send us a message through there. It'll be great. And I've talked to Angela about this. She doesn't know. And if you're still here, I appreciate it. But I'm trying to get a widget on our webpage where you can send us a voicemail. We're working on it. And when I say we, I mean, well, you and I at home. Because, you know, Angela is the one that actually does the work. She's the smart one. I'm just the funny one. Sometimes the pretty one. But she's the smart one. And so if we can get a widget put on our website where you can send us voicemails, would you like that? I feel like you would. And I would love to hear your voice in my ear holes for once, because I'm tired of just speaking to an abyss.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, sorry. You're still here. I didn't realize she was still listening to us. Uh-huh. I thought we were having a secret message. Anyway, so yes, message us and we will see how we go.
Yeah. Sounds good.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you 2 weeks from tonight, whenever you're listening to this, but not whenever, but whenever it was released. You know what I'm saying. See you in a fortnight. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.